Our next guest on Women in What We Do is a registered dietitian, a licensed therapist, diabetes expert, and my favorite, menopause practitioner. With over three decades of experience helping women transform their health from the inside out. It is a great pleasure and well overdue to introduce Jennifer Gilliland. I'm your host, Mary Brucker, and welcome. So Jennifer, welcome. It's been a long time that we've talked about having you on the show. And I'm so glad you finally made it.
And I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. I think what we're about to talk about is a story of my life and so many other women's lives of what our bodies and our minds and everything go through. And You are an expert on it. So tell us a little bit about you and your story.
So I am a dietitian as well as a therapist and smack dab in the middle of menopause myself. So 54 years old and really trying to figure it out for myself personally and just really decided that we aren't having this conversation about menopause enough. There's half the population that goes through menopause or is in menopause or is about to go through menopause. And so it's really a conversation we need to have more readily. It has to be something that's out there in social media, in the world. And I feel like it's hidden. And there's a lot of women who are struggling and really challenged with health issues at this time, both physically and emotionally.
Why do you think it's such a thing that we can't talk about?
I think for a long time, women have been told to, you know, not to complain, not to talk about our own health issues, not to talk about what's going on with our bodies. There's a lot of shame and guilt around maybe food choices that we've made growing up and just how we've experienced our own health. You know, we're supposed to take care of other people. We're nurturers. We're people that help others. We don't necessarily help ourselves, and we tend to put ourselves last. And so when we get to menopause, things happen that are out of our control. And we're like, we look down one day and we're like, what in the world happened? You know, we're gaining weight, we have belly fat, we're hot flashing all over the place.
Oh my
and
God.
It's a thing, right?
You just literally described a day in the life of me. You know, I think that we all kind of put it off because of our changing body. Mm-hmm. So you're a dietitian.
I am.
And you're saying that there are food choices and things like that that we might be able to do to help with some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always say that nutrition is the foundation of everything. It's the fuel for our cells. It's the fuel for our bodies. It gives us energy. It helps with our brain health. It's across the board the entirety of what we need to do to have the foundation of health. And we ignore it, or we get too busy, or we, you know, maybe there's foods that we just don't like that we feel like if we have to eat certain things, then we might as well just forget it because we're picky eaters, or, you know, it's too challenging, or those kinds of things. So we tend to ignore it instead of trying to find a solution that works best for us. And then, of course, we talk to our friends and this is working and that's working. And, you know, everybody has their different story. And so we get frustrated that if it's not working for us the same way that it's working for somebody else, we tend to compare our bodies and what on our experiences. And so we just get frustrated and kind of give up. But
God,
there's definitely things that we can do.
That is so true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I also in my 50s and in the heart of everything that you speak about. Mm-hmm. And I think the way that I cope with this is more joking and it's like a humor thing. But this is a real thing that that needs to be talked about. And when we talk about menopause and our changing body, what is some of the things that you would advise me and of course our listeners on when you start going through this process, what are the things that you need to keep in mind?
I think first and foremost, we have to remember that our body is unique to us. And so we have lots of reasons why we're feeling the way that we're feeling, both physically, emotionally, mentally, all of those spaces. And we all have a history. We all have a story to be told about what's worked for us in the past and where we're at this point. So if we start to only follow one certain plan, that might work for a while, but we have to be open and really vulnerable with the conversation about what's working and what's not working. And I find a lot of women are afraid to admit that they're having trouble because, again, we're the people that are supposed to figure the things out. We're supposed to take care of things. And so when we feel scared or embarrassed or frustrated, who do we talk to? How do we open up about that and still hold on to ourselves and hold on to who we are as women in our job? You know, maybe we're having a hot flash in a meeting. It's unacceptable for us to just get up, right, and walk out when we're feeling like we're having a panic attack and anxiety is something that we're struggling with. And all of a sudden, these things are happening that we just don't know what to do with, but we don't know who to talk to either, because if we talk about it and we're open about it and we're vulnerable, then we're complaining, we're venting. I know a lot of people see menopausal women as kind of old biddies and that kind of thing. And so I'm trying to change that conversation and that viewpoint, because it is definitely, once people start to talk about it, there's so many similarities and we can learn from each other. But when we start to, you know, oh, she's just angry all the time. No, she's probably not sleeping and, you know, not feeling well and has maybe some stomach issues that are happening. And there's a lot of fear too, you know, of like, what's going on with my body? I'm not doing anything different. I can't tell you the number of women that have said, I'm not changing a thing about what I'm eating and I gained 20 pounds overnight. I'm like, I know.
No, I mean, I that happens and, and you get so frustrated. Mm-hmm. So what do we do? this is a 25 minute podcast. Right. I mean, literally, I sometimes am driving myself crazy because I feel like, you know, I'm in control of my life 90% of the time. And then there's this other part that just like I feel like I'm having an out of body experience.
Right.
I mean, where do you start dealing with that?
So the very first thing that I think is helpful for everybody, and everybody can do this, is to just take a pause. Like, literally, pause is in the word, right? So take a pause, take a breath.
Mental,
well, yes, all of it. and really just take stock of where you are. You know, do you need support? Do you need to rest? Do you need to just get out of your physical environment for a minute? What do you need right then and there? And then start to build on that, right? So give yourself the space and the grace to be able to know, what does my body need at 54, at 34 sometimes? Because you can start menopause, perimenopause in your 30s. A lot of people are told you're too young. If you're having the symptoms, you're not too young. You're smack dab in the middle of it. So when you're starting to feel like your body is changing, recognizing that and being able to say, okay, I have to do things differently. I have to pay attention a little differently. Reaching out for support first and foremost as well, just because we're not, you know, siloed in this. Every woman will go through it in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
So being able to recognize that and have those conversations. I think I don't know how this has worked out in your life, but I know for me, it wasn't something that we talked about, you know, prior to, I'd say, the last few years.
Right.
And so being able to say the word menopause and not have people be like, I don't know what to do with that, you know, and be able to start having more of those conversations, I think has opened up a lot of support for women. But we have a long way to go. We really do.
I know for me, the hardest part is the weight gain. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my youth, I would be able to just jump on a treadmill and lose 20 pounds and, you know, in a weekend. Mm-hmm. And it's a different weight, like in different places that you don't expect. How do you start getting your body back? And again, like you said, nothing has changed. My lifestyle has not changed at all. Mm-hmm. So as a professional, what are the things that you advise women when their body starts to change?
I think we've heard for a very long time that we're supposed to eat less and exercise more. And so it's almost like we have to punish our bodies into feeling better. And so when we can take a step back and really recognize, are there foods that our body just can't digest anymore? Are we having some issues with food intolerance or food sensitivities and those types of things? You know, so that's one piece. We look at, certainly calories and macros and that kind of a thing. But if that's the only thing that we're counting, and we're putting more pressure and stress on that piece, it's not going to be the full picture. Because maybe we can't tolerate dairy anymore and we love yogurt and milk and those kinds of things, how do we replace that? And what do we do when other people are eating that? We want to still be able to
eat those. And that really happens during menopause. Yeah. Your body doesn't digest or doesn't process. Mm-hmm.
If you think about how many different ways we use our bodies over the years, right? If we've been blessed with children, that is traumatic for our bodies. I have 3 kids of my own, love them dearly, but it's traumatic. Like, it is, you are going through so many hormone shifts, so many changes. And so we've had all of those different experiences in our life that has changed our metabolism, our digestive system, the way that we experience things emotionally, mentally, and we're going through all of the other people in our lives, all of their, you know, again, if you're blessed with kids and you have their experiences, yes, the ups and downs of parenthood, all of that that you're experiencing, maybe you have a job change, all of that emotional and physical change or mental change happens as well. And that changes how we digest food, how we hold on to weight. There's cortisol changes that happen. Mm-hmm. You know, that's our stress hormone, right? So if we're experiencing a lot of stress at work, a lot of stress at home, that changes our digestive system. There's actually a process of our brain talking to our gut. And so when we are digesting food in menopause and our stress levels go up, we don't digest as well. A lot of women are experiencing anxiety and depression that's brand new for them.
Right.
That changes the kinds of foods we're eating, how we're digesting it, how we're experiencing our nutrition and that kind of a thing too. So we expect it to be this siloed piece of I just eat less calories, I go into the calorie deficit and it's all fine. But in menopause, it's a brand new conversation. And if we're not looking at how stress is affecting it, sleep is another big piece.
Right.
You know, we can sleep. I have heard more people say I can sleep later. I'm like, we can't do that anymore.
Yeah, right.
We need to sleep and rest now. And I think we undervalue taking care of our bodies at a kind of a lower frequency and,
right,
and letting our bodies rest. Because resting, when I was growing up, meant that we weren't being productive, right? We had to keep pushing. We had
absolutely
to keep grinding, to keep going.
I still feel that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we've carried all of that into our 50s and our body's like, hold on. I can't do that anymore. And so it's this letting go of who we used to be and experiencing this brand new, beautiful, amazing person. But we have to go through that transition. And it, you know, it may sound a little cliche, but we're kind of like brand new butterflies, right? We're expanding into this new awareness of who we are and then helping other people around us to also experience us as this new person who's still very strong, very much in control, has a lot of hope, but we need to... But sometimes we need to rest a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the 50s are the best years of my life.
Absolutely.
Not with my body, of course. And those are the changing part of the body. But, Jen, the mental things that mm-hmm. happen, you know, mm-hmm. like the things that I'm, look at I say I, women, I mean, this has turned into a counseling session for me.
Okay.
I think we,
okay.
But I like to think of myself, and I'm sure many women do, as like in control of your, mm-hmm. your brain. And there are moments in my life mm-hmm. that like literally I see my brain walking down the street
right.
and I'm not following
right.
it. Like, so we've got this body thing. So tell me about this brain. When will this recalibrate?
So
the emotions, that the frustrations.
Yeah. So a lot of that depends on how willing we are to take a step back and see the reality of where we are. So again, if we're not sleeping,
yeah,
we need that rest and that relaxation to get to a place where we can feel more like ourselves, where we can actually recover and reset from the day. And so many times we've spent, you know, it's like I'll go for weeks without sleeping, you know, I'll sleep 3 or 4 hours a night and it'll be fine and I can take care of it. That's kind of our mentality and what we tell ourselves. And then our body just doesn't do that. So a lot of the brain fog, a lot of the memory issues, a lot of those mm-hmm. those pieces that were like, I can't even recognize who I am. I used to be able to remember everybody's name and now I can't remember anybody's name. You know, a lot of that, we're putting so much information into our brains already. I mean, it's 2025. So we have technology like crazy,
right?
And so we have all of this stuff coming at us all of the time. And we're supposed to be able to balance that with the fact that our brain is slowing down a little bit and we need to make space for that. But the stress, the anxiety, and the depression is huge for women. And we don't really recognize that. It's very fear-based, because when you start to, oh my gosh, I can't remember anything, now all of a sudden that's a judgment on us.
Right.
That we're somehow doing something wrong, or we're not smart enough, or we're not capable enough. And so we start to lose our identity in the midst of our estrogen dropping and hot flashes happening. And, you know, we're not sleep. We want to sleep, but we can't sleep because we have insomnia. And all of these things that are happening that we tend to blame ourselves and look inside of like, why am I not better? Why am I not doing a better job? And we don't just acknowledge and accept that our body is in menopause. And that doesn't mean that we lose hope. And I think that's the piece where people tend to see, well, my body's changing and I should be able to conquer it.
Right.
As though we're like, you know, something that needs to be taken care of. And instead of just, what do I need? What does my body actually need? So when we're feeling that panic, we're feeling that anxiety or that overwhelm, taking a step back and just literally saying, what does my body need right now? And then honoring your body and giving it whatever that looks like, whatever that needs. That helps with the brain fog because it gives you space and it helps you to feel more like yourself again, for sure.
So, I mean, just this conversation makes it sound so easy, and I know it's not.
Right.
It is definitely a
it's
journey.
A work in progress. That,
yeah, right. Mm-hmm. It is a work in progress. Mm-hmm. And you have dedicated now your life to this. Mm-hmm. Like, why is it so important now? Because you're in it, or what makes you want to be a menopause specialist?
You know, when I first started in private practice, I actually said to myself, I'm not going to do a private practice. It's too hard. There's too many things to do with that. And I literally, like, the next day, I signed up for my LLC and I started the process because it was too much of a passion, too much on my heart that I want women to know that there's hope. I see too many women just kind of shrinking instead of expanding.
Right.
And so when we expand and we recognize the value that we have as 40, 50 and beyond year old women, we have so much wisdom. We have so much love to share. We have so much hope to share. And so I want women to feel empowered. And I feel like when we feel empowered, we can make amazing strides.
Right.
And we can do so much to bring awareness to the younger generation, to bring, you know, more light and love into the world as well. So it's just very much a passion project for me. I don't work. I get to, you know, have great conversations with women and really be a part of the movement forward, because I don't want, you know, the girls that are in that are 10 and 12 now, I want them to have, you know, this experience of menopause is like, oh my gosh, it's the most amazing time of our lives.
Right.
That we get to reinvent who we are. You know, the other piece to it is, yes, I'm in it, but I went through my own journey of healing over, you know, my lifetime and really recognizing kind of where I was not taking care of myself in the best way possible and had to kind of relearn that too. But I also want to bring up the point that we're in menopause and there's physical changes happening, but this is also the time of life where maybe we're considering retirement. Maybe we're considering, maybe kids are moving out of the house. Yeah. That's a whole nother piece to all of this. So we have a lot of life changes that are happening. So that's another, like, kind of beating the drums type of thing for me, is I want women to recognize, yes, your body is changing, but also give yourself some time to understand there's a lot going on in your life
right.
at this stage. And so it's not all just menopause in and of itself. It's
so true.
Everything else yeah. that's going on. And recognizing, yes, I am super proud of my kids and so excited for their next step, but I'm sad.
Yeah.
That's a stage of my life that is now, you know, the page is turning, right? And so now it's moving on to something different. But really, I it's a conversation that I just think we need to keep having more and more.
And I know that these conversations will continue to be easier women to women, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. Because we're going through it. Mm-hmm. I think one of the struggles that, I'm using so many other women, is how do you talk about this with your spouse or your partner of the things that you're going through that they'll never go through mm-hmm. and probably don't understand what we go through.
Not to call out all the men in the world.
In the room. No, it really is. I mean, that's a hard part, because I know for me, my husband is like, who are you?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't know how to have those conversations.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a very good point and a very big part of what needs to be a part of the conversation, for sure. I think first and foremost is that connection and being open and honest about how you're feeling. I know if you talked to my husband, he would have the same, like, who are you? What are you doing? What did you do with my wife? Like, why are we having this kind of, you know, experience type of a thing? But it's really about the connection. And for me to be able to say, I know personally, if I look at my husband and I'm like, I don't even like me right now. I'm
right.
trying to figure myself out, you know, and he knows, we've had that conversation enough that he knows to just sort of like back up a little bit and maybe, you know, give me a little bit of space for that time. But then also going back and saying, this is why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling. And I don't expect him to understand 100% because he hasn't physically felt it.
Right.
But, you know, I think the more honest we can be with ourselves, and that's where that pause really is important. that we're taking the pause with ourselves to understand who we are. Because if we don't understand who we are, how can we expect other people to understand us and right. what we're going through? And so many times we're pushing and grinding and, you know, moving through it. And we have to be able to understand ourselves. That's where that emotional piece comes in too. I'm going crazy. Yeah. You're not really, but I feel like I'm right. going crazy. Yes. My anxiety is high. I need to take space for myself and being okay with that. Because if I say to my husband, I need 5 minutes, you know, and he knows we have a great relationship, so it's all good, but he knows that I need the 5 minutes, but I have to be the one to initiate that.
Right.
He's not going to look at me and be like, you look like you need 5 minutes. And I'll be like, don't say that to me.
Yeah, I think maybe 10, or why don't you go away for the weekend?
Exactly.
Is some of our conversation. Mm-hmm. So I think to go to your practice, do you find that women wait till they're in that stage of, oh my God, who am I? What am I doing? Mm-hmm. Or is it your goal to go, let's talk before any of that stuff happens? Like, what is the perfect world for you and your clients?
My perfect world is that as soon as you start to feel any shift or change, because you know your body better than anybody else, that you start to reach out for that support, whether it's being in community with other women, listening to podcasts like this one, where you're getting that information and it's starting to open up your awareness about what's going on. One of the things that I've seen women do is they shrink and they pull back, and that increases the loneliness, that increases the anxiety, that increases the misunderstanding that they have with their own body and with the world around them. So the more we're having that conversation, as soon as you notice that change, which again, can happen in your 30s, and sometimes even in your 20s. So starting to learn more, understand more, talk to your moms, your aunts, your, you know, friends, just start having these conversations. I think humor is a great way
right.
to be like, man, like when you walk into a room and everybody's fanning themselves, yeah. like, you know, you're in a room full of menopausal women.
You're in with your people.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But just open up those conversations and start asking questions. And I guarantee you that other women are experiencing similar issues. And we start to dissipate that loneliness, and
right.
we start to, you know, experience life again with other people in a really great community. So.
And I want to just talk briefly about nutrition. I know that that's another passion of yours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's this surge right now of helpful aids to lose weight. I mean, I've probably fallen on the bandwagon with that a million times. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people in my life are on that. Tell me how those kind of assistance, if you will, play a part in this menopausal journey?
So quick fixes have been around forever, right? We're always, as humans, we're looking for how can I do this? What's my path of least resistance? What's the way that I can get this result the quickest?
Absolutely.
And I don't fault anyone for wanting the quick fix, right? However, we have to understand that women and men are all, we're human. Our bodies are human. We need energy. We need fuel. Our brains use about 25% of our calories. We need nutrients to keep going. And so when we start to just pull back the nutrients and add some other assistance, some, you know, helpful types of things, there's some help with that, but it's not really getting to the root of the problem. It's not really helping with I'm an emotional eater or I'm a boredom eater.
Right.
It's not getting into that really nitty gritty of the emotional and the mental piece that keeps our bodies balanced. So we have to make sure that, great, we have this, you know, this help for the immediate gratification of I'm not going to have that same kind of food noise and that kind of a thing. But in the long run, it's not nourishing our bodies. Just because we're eating less calories doesn't mean that we're nourishing that metabolic fire inside of us.
Right.
And if we don't have all of the vitamins and minerals, the fiber, the proteins, all of those kinds of things, we can't expect our bodies to work at the level that we want it to work. So we want to get stronger. We want to be able to lift weights and, you know, lift up our grandkids and go on hikes and go on, you know, all those wonderful things that we want to do. We can't do that if the only answer to that is we're just eating less calories.
Right.
And that's really what the assistance is there for, is so that we eat less. We can do that lots of other ways, and we can really balance those calories and that nutrition a lot better when we're learning the skills and the tactics to be able to do that. So it's unlearning some of the quicker, you know, throw something in the microwave and eat that frozen pizza type of thing, and getting back to some of those basics of nutrition. But if we're not looking at it from an emotional and a mental standpoint, that's a lot of people, when I'm talking to them, they're just like, I wish that I had like knew somebody that was a dietitian and a therapist. And I'm like, well, you're kind of talking
yeah,
about it,
you know? Right, right.
So we have to have that piece in there, especially for women in menopause. We can't just lose weight and expect that to be the end, because I've talked to a lot of women who get to their goal weight or their ideal weight for them, and they still don't like their bodies. They're not right. happy. They're sad. The depression is there. You know, so we haven't really dealt with the inner work of what needs to happen in order to feel their best. All we did was change the outside. And that's, you know, not enough when we're looking at overall health.
Well, I'll tell you, Jennifer, we could probably have 10 segments of this. And I know our listeners, you know, the majority of our listeners are mm-hmm. women.
Sure.
And this is what we do. Mm-hmm. And how would they be able to get a hold of you to further this conversation?
So the quickest and the easiest way is to go to my website, which is beyondthescalenutrition.com. And in there, I have my story that I kind of wrote out based on what my past has been like. I've gone through my own weight loss journey, my own healing journey. So that's on there as well. I kind of call it my mud puddle of life. And so it's a good read, I think. And then I have different ways that people can work with me, either one-on-one or in my group program and that type of thing. And lots of things in between, because I really want women to get the help that they need. And everybody's at a different stage. And whatever you need, it's there.
Well, I can tell you, I will definitely be a bigger part of the community as we just have this small conversation.
Yeah.
And these are things that I know I and many women I know need. So thank you so much for being here today. And I'm sure we'll talk a lot more soon. Thanks so much, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Wow. That was an important one for me and so many of you to listen to, I'm sure. And as Jennifer said, we just need to take a pause and assess where we are in our journey. And it's okay for us to talk about it. Gosh, I will most definitely be signing up for additional guidance. Thank you so much today, Jennifer, for being a part of our podcast. I'd also like to thank my man in the room and wonderful producer, Chris Pfeiffer, and for you, our listeners, for continuing to support women in what we do. If you have a story or would like to hear more about our podcast, please go to wgte.org/whatwedo. And remember, everyone, speak up. We do.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.